Good Sunday morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. Happy to have you with us. I got to admit, this morning I'm moving a little slow. My headphones just broke, so that's no good. Josh, how are you?
I'm good. It's winter.
Waking up to digging out my car.
That's fun.
I should have put it in the garage. I thought that last night.
Yeah?
I'm getting in my chair. It's not like I'm not ready for the show.
You're not, but it's fine.
But I am. I mean, philosophically,
We're digging out of the snow at 7:09. That's what we're doing here on the show.
And getting into my car.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to build more time into your life. I forget about winter.
I also don't mind once I'm in and I'm done. I don't mind sitting in there forever and just letting my car just warm up. Because especially when you don't have to necessarily shoot off to somewhere like
me.
Today, I gave it an extra 5 minutes and went to Holiday to air some tires and found out one of my tires was like a little high, 55. I was like, okay, whatever, it should be fine. But I got the tire I needed aired up at least, because it is that time of year where the tires need to be monitored.
Yeah, because it's going to be cold today. Mm-hmm. I think we heard Eric's, Al. It's not going to be
whatever
warm.
His name is.
It's not going to be warm today.
No, we are in a cold stretch now. We talked a couple weeks ago about how we had like a week warning, which we did. We had a week of like 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. But we even talked about it the other day. I think Matthew Collar was in on Friday with me Friday night, and this was just a cold snap. Mm-hmm. Like it snapped right into freezing temperatures.
I know.
So, yeah.
And I was mowing last night. I'm mowing. God, my
brain. Wow.
I am.
Where were you mowing at?
Well,
Florida?
I flew to Florida to mow. No.
Wow.
I was shoveling. I did a round of shoveling. I don't know how many people do that, where you shovel before it stops snowing, and then when you wake up, there's way
it's
more.
It's the most counterproductive Minnesota thing ever.
Ah!
Yeah.
Anyway, so more of that later today.
Yes.
But we're happy to have you with us on this Thanksgiving weekend. A lot of people are a little overstuffed, maybe a little tired because we've been up late off our schedules. And we're going to start out the show this morning taking a look at some of the stories that made news this week in the world of health. And I guess this story came out and kind of caught me by surprise. You have to check, I guess, to see what kind of cheese you have in your refrigerator on your – maybe you've got it for your charcuterie board, whatever that is. You know what a charcuterie board is, right? I do, too. Well, CBS News' Stacey Lynn has more on a new recall on a certain kind of cheese.
Boar's Head Pecorino Romano cheese has been recalled due to potential listeria. The affected products were sold in stores across the country with a Best Buy date between November 21st and March 12th. The company says no illnesses have been confirmed, but warned listeria is particularly dangerous for pregnant women, those over 65, and people with weakened immune systems. If you have the cheese in your fridge, don't eat it. You can return the product for a full refund. Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
New research on weight loss drugs and pregnancy has been released. A study in the Journal of American Medicine looks at patients who stopped taking GLP-1 drugs before or during pregnancy. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
What they saw is when women stopped, they regained the weight quickly, and then you saw a slight increase in risk in things like gestational diabetes, high blood pressure, preterm birth. And so we really do need more information about whether women can continue these medications during pregnancy safely.
And this one out was kind of interesting. In fact, I've heard this before. Researchers say patients having surgery do better when music is played in the OR. CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker reports from the Foreign Desk in London.
The study from India, published in the journal Music and Medicine, found that when calming music is played in an operating room, patients require less anesthesia and therefore regain consciousness faster and more clearly. This, even though the patients were unconscious throughout, showing that the brain still registers and reacts to auditory signals even under anesthesia. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
And CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula reports on a new medical concern for the many who suffer from a common sleep problem.
People with untreated obstructive sleep apnea have a higher risk of developing Parkinson's disease. That risk can be greatly reduced by using a CPAP breathing machine, according to a new study. It involved electronic health records covering more than 11 million U.S. military veterans who received care through the VA.
The time now is 14 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It is November 30th. I'm Susie Jones, your host this morning, as always on Sunday mornings. When we come back, we're going to hear from CBS News reporter Lee Cowan. It was a very interesting story on protein. Not sure if you saw it in the news or not, but protein apparently is a huge craze. Protein and everything, protein bars, protein milk. They're just adding it all over. And is it good for you? Is it not good for you? Is there too much? So we're going to hear from reporter Lee Cowan coming up after this short break on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is 18 minutes, almost 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It is cold outside and it is snowy. So while you're waking up this morning making coffee, thinking about going to church or taking a walk or walking the dog, dress warm and watch those sidewalks. It can be very slick this time of year, especially because it rained and snowed and it was, you got that ice underneath that you got to be mindful of. Well, as we mentioned, protein is all the rage these days. About 71% of consumers identified protein as the nutrient they most frequently tried to eat. That is an appetite that corporate America is more than happy to feed, even though protein often doesn't taste very good. And as we mentioned, CBS News reporter Lee Cowan looked at how companies like our very own General Mills in our own backyard are developing protein-fueled products and how Americans may be consuming more protein, actually, than they even need.
At the Nasonville Dairy in Marshfield, Wisconsin, Little Miss Muffet might not recognize her curds and whey anymore. Back when she was sitting on her tuffet, though, she was quite the trendsetter. Whey, the watery byproduct of curdling milk, is packed with the one ingredient that Americans today can't get enough of.
Hey, I got you guys protein shake.
Awesome. I love protein.
I know you love protein. I love protein, too.
Yeah, protein rocks.
Call it a craze, a trend, a fad, whatever it is.
Lego my protein ego.
Protein is the macronutrient of the moment.
Protein popcorn from a Kardashian. Are we really doing this right now? Yes, we are.
These aren't Pop-Tarts. No, they're not. Protein tarts.
Last year, approximately 71% of consumers identified protein as the single nutrient they most frequently try to eat, which gives master cheesemakers like Ken Hyman a real Cheshire grin.
If this was a baseball game and you had a 9-inning game, we are barely in the third inning. This is a whole new ball game. Whole new ballgame.
Whey used to be drained and fed to pigs or used as fertilizer.
And the whey itself is right there.
But today, its protein content is so valuable, the cheese it comes from is almost secondary.
Oh my God, you have to eat so much protein.
Proteins from whey, or from plant or animals, are essential for building muscle. For those on GLP-1 weight loss drugs and those who are older, consuming added protein is actually recommended.
Introducing new protein bowls, packed with protein.
So that's an appetite that corporate America has been more than happy to feed. But here's the thing.
Sometimes protein doesn't taste that good.
Alyssa Buckaloo is Vice President of Innovation and Quality at General Mills near Minneapolis. The folks who brought us the Pillsbury Doughboy and Betty Crocker. The company's test kitchen has been pretty busy making protein tasty. General Mills has more than 350 protein-fueled products, including Annie's Protein-Packed Supermac and Progresso's Pitmaster Protein Soups.
That is very hearty.
Mm-hmm. It'll really fill you up.
And this year, it even started adding protein to its 80-year-old stalwart, Cheerios.
It still tastes like Cheerios.
Really, the goal is to make sure that people love the taste and they can get the protein benefit, but they're not tasting the protein.
But it got us wondering.
Do we really need to add more protein into things?
It's a great question. We definitely know that consumers are seeking more protein. And even though many adults are getting enough protein, they're not necessarily getting enough varieties of protein, whether that's coming from plants like pea protein or from animals like meat.
When we say protein, 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 it's like that's important, but that's just one of 50 nutrients we need.
Joanne Slavin is professor of food science and nutrition at the University of Minnesota. Scientists say a 150-pound man, for example, should get around 55 grams of protein a day. For women, it's a little less. But according to recent data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, U.S. adults are eating about 20% more than what's recommended.
So you don't even need two of these to get to your recommended dietary allowance of protein.
And if your body isn't using it, she says,
it's just extra calories and you're going to gain weight.
One other thing to consider. Just because it says added protein on the label, she says, doesn't necessarily make those products magically healthy. Ultra-processed foods with protein are still ultra-processed foods.
Do I want to put protein in beverages? Do I want it in snack foods? I'd rather you just enjoyed your food. You'll get enough protein.
She says a few eggs, a handful of nuts, and yes, good old-fashioned cheese will likely get you most of what your body needs. But for those who require or want more protein, Ken Hyman remains thankful for the wonderful profit center that is the humble dairy cow.
The only thing we haven't sold is the moo. If I can sell the moo, we sell the moo.
I love that story.
That was good.
Yeah, it was on CBS Sunday Morning, and I heard all those Minnesota connections, General Mills, University of Minnesota, and I do think, do you now pay more attention to protein than you have in other times in your life?
Not as much now. I do know, like, I when I'm working out, when I have my little phases of working out, I do go pretty heavy into the whey protein, for sure.
You do, okay.
And I drink a little extra chocolate milk, because I've heard that that also is essential to muscle growth and whatnot.
So. Okay. Well, starting tomorrow, actually, December 1st, I'm going to start a new program. We've seen Jason DeRusha do quite well with it, Livia.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start Livia for myself. I'm going to start talking about it on the radio. And it's an interesting program. I've learned quite a bit already, and I actually physically start it tomorrow. I have it all laid out.
Nice.
And it has a lot of protein. But I don't think, obviously, they've scientifically looked at it all to make sure that you're getting kind of that balanced amount. But, yeah, it is certainly a craze to see protein in Cheerios.
it is different. Even as someone that, you know, at Target, I stock it for a living, it's always interesting seeing protein on cereals now.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Right.
So.
And like she says, if you just eat nuts and eggs and a little cheese, you should be fine.
Yeah.
But I think people are like, oh, I got to get protein.
Got to go heavy on everything with protein, apparently.
Yeah. Well, we want to acknowledge that we have restarted playing the Mormon Tabernacle.
A lot of people are happy about it.
Yeah, 651-461-9226. Of course, that's our text line. And this morning, it started. Did it start just this morning?
Yeah, this morning they brought it back. Yeah, the other financial show has ended, and we are back to the festive choir singing Mormon Tabernacle at 6:30 on Sunday morning.
And I think that people waking up, a lot of people get up at that time to go to church or what have you, or whatever they're doing for the day. But I'm saying that it is comforting and relaxing and enjoyable to kind of have just a nice background rather than sort of, not that the money show was that.
Provide some calmness in the winter driving as well.
Yeah,
so for
right.
A lot of people.
You're going to need it today, let me tell you that.
I don't want to hear about money while I'm trying to white knuckle the steering wheel. Yeah.
You know what I forget about when we're driving in snow is you go on your street, which is plowed, and then they plowed the other street, so you got to go across that mound.
Yep. Just had to do that a couple times today.
Yeah. Or you just bust through it and hope you don't spin out and crash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a few. I wonder if I bet you we do have a snow emergency. I haven't checked in the newsroom, but I will, because this is enough. I think this would be enough for them to call a snow emergency in Minneapolis. But maybe you can find
maybe.
Out.
Maybe. I mean, I
snow emergency Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Doesn't look
say?
Like anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been checked to CCO to see if there was anything, and it doesn't look like it's quite there yet. There is quite a bit of snow out there, though.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So be careful if you're getting out and about. And we're happy, too. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir is back. And when we come back, we are going to talk about a program that Life Spark, we've had them on before, Josh, and they do a number of services for people that are older, including hospice. They have people that help people when they are in the end stages of their lives do so with dignity and grace. And we invite you to be part of that as well. 651-461-9226. And we'll be back right after this break with some weather and other business news after this. And welcome back. It is 7:33 on Sunday morning. Excuse me. Holy cow. Shouldn't have done that on the air.
Put it out.
I actually have a little... I have a cough button ready. Listen.
See it. It even makes a coughing sound when it's on.
I shouldn't have coughed in front of everybody. I'm sorry. Anyhow, we are talking about something that's near and dear to my heart in that on a couple different levels, I had a chance to become a hospice volunteer several years ago. My dad died in 2005. And the hospice team that we had worked with us was so amazing. It inspired me to take part, to learn. And I did so, and I had the opportunity to work with different people at different stages of their lives. And it's really an amazing experience. If you've never had the experience of working with someone who is near the end of their life, it's quite poignant and spiritual in many ways. And we thought we'd take a look more about hospice. And we really do want you to be in the program as well. If you had this experience, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Our guest this morning is Megan Thomas-Betts with Life Spark, and she is the hospice administrator. Good morning, Megan. Thanks for coming on. Is it Megan or Megan?
It's Megan. Thanks for having me.
Well, as you might have heard, I learned how to be a hospice volunteer, and it was very rewarding. So let's start out with what is hospice for people that are listening today?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So hospice is a philosophy of care. It focuses on comfort, on dignity, and choice when someone is approaching their end of life. And it's about shifting the goal of care from curing to supporting the person's comfort, their values, their priorities. And hospice can help walk with people through their end of life and through those most vulnerable and meaningful chapters.
So a person is sick and they've tried everything. How do you or how do they come to the spot where they say, okay, now it's time? Does a doctor, does a family member, how do you move into hospice?
You know, it's a little of both. Usually it starts with a conversation with a primary care provider of talking through what might be happening, if goals are changing. Maybe they have a few more hospital admissions or they're having difficulty with symptom management, transferring from that place of curative to comfort. And oftentimes it happens with the primary care provider because they know your background best, but sometimes it happens within the family. Maybe we were just home and saw grandma for Thanksgiving, and things have changed a lot, and we can start a conversation there. And what you can do is reach out and say, hey, these are the things that are happening. Can we have a consult? And we can send our nurse liaison, who's absolutely wonderful, and talk through what's happening, what changes you see, and how we can be of a support.
Do you ever get pushback from the patient themselves saying, no, I'm not quite ready to go yet?
Absolutely. And the best part about hospice is the essence is choice. You don't have to choose it. It's there as a benefit to help you, to help your family, to help your care team and walk alongside of you. But lots of times people aren't quite ready and they want to try one more thing. And we support that. And then we're always there when you're ready to move forward with comfort.
Again, you are listening to Megan Thompson-Betts. She is a LifeSpark Hospice Administrator, and we're talking about hospice. And, you know, it's a kind of hard thing to talk about this time of year because I think people, you know, you want to be in the holiday spirit, but at the same time, I always feel like people, and maybe this is not scientifically proven, Megan, that the winter and cold weather, sometimes people are kind of ready to, I'd say, check out, but to pass on because winters are hard and you sort of go into this darkness. Does that bode any kind of truth in terms of like this time of year, people passing away more?
It really does. The winter tends to be a time that we see increases in our census, so the people that we're serving. And I think it's multifaceted. I think for Minnesota, we have, just like you said, we have more darkness. We have more reflection internally because we're coming into those shorter days and being inside and being with ourselves. And also we have a lot of holidays where our family is coming in to see us and maybe haven't seen us for a while and see some of those changes. So I think it's multifaceted, but yes.
Yeah, it really is. Again, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And does ever a person go into hospice and then come out of hospice, or is it always just a one-way street?
Yeah, it's always open. People come into hospice with the idea that based on a prognosis or how things are moving with their disease process, that within around 6 months or maybe even a year or less, that will be the journey for them.
Okay.
And occasionally, people live for a long time and may graduate hospice. Sometimes people do get better. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people start hospice and say, you know what, I don't think this is for me right now.
Hmm.
I'd like to change my care plan. And we can say, absolutely, let's revoke hospice. Or if you want to revoke hospice, that's your choice. And we're here when you're ready.
A texter writes at 651-461-9226, wondering, appreciate the show, also appreciate you. Question to the LifeSpark representative, how does hospice work in a nursing home setting?
Great question. We serve patients wherever they call home, whether that's a private home, assisted living, or skilled facility. And we partner with the team at the skilled facility, and we talk with the family, with the caregivers, with the patients and their family, and say, what are your goals? What do you need? And how can we support you? So hospice doesn't then take over care, but we offer supplemental care. And what that means is maybe we help the facility because our hospice team are experts with how things change in end of life, that we can help walk them through medications. We can order things like DME.
You have to jump in. What is DME?
Oh, yes. DME is durable medical equipment.
Okay.
So if someone's condition has changed and maybe a wheelchair would be supportive or a different hospital mattress,
okay,
we can try that.
Okay.
And so we don't take over care, but we supplement it. And that might mean an extra bath a week or a caregiver that comes in and offers companionship.
Right, right, right. A texter wonders, good morning. How does comfort care, or another word is palliative care, comfort care, differ from hospice? She says, my husband has stage 4 cancer and was told, was recommended comfort care at this stage. What's sort of the difference between that and hospice?
Yeah, great question. So hospice is a form of palliative care. Palliative care can be two different things. Palliative care can be hospice, where we transition out of curative treatments, or it can be a separate palliative care. There are palliative care providers that are in clinic that offer extra help as you process through some of those symptom management associated with cancer care, chemotherapy, radiation, nausea, pain, tired, fatigue. You don't necessarily have to elect the hospice benefit to have palliative care.
Okay.
But palliative care is hospice. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you cannot be actively dying and get palliative care and still be working to cure whatever it is you're dealing with?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Right. It's the hospice piece is that you're not working to cure anything. You're realizing that the road has come to a fork and you're taking
That's
one
right.
way. Yeah, I understand
That's
that
right.
completely. Let's talk about this. We have time now. We're going to take a break in just a minute. We want to make sure people feel included in this conversation. 651-461-9226. And I don't know if we got into this, but what actually does hospice care include? Like, what happens? And I can speak for my family. We had a nurse come when my dad was dying. And I think that's all we had. But there are a lot of other things that can be part of hospice. Can you talk about the care team?
Yes. Hospice is a team approach. So we have an interdisciplinary team, and it's designed for whole person care. So it's the body, which you talked about, having the registered nurse as part of it, the mind, and the spirit. We also have social workers that are available for emotional support, counseling, and connection to resources. We have chaplains that meet spiritual needs and of any tradition or no tradition. Home health aides that help with personal cares like showering and companionship. Music therapists, massage therapists. We have a medical director and nurse practitioners. And you mentioned earlier volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And volunteers really are the core of what created hospice in the beginning and an integral part of how hospice operates.
Yes, because part of being a volunteer, at least my own personal experience, was just the companionship. You know,
yes.
Oftentimes, even if a person was already unconscious and at a stage of being close to the end, they would ask just to sit in the room with a person, even though that
yeah.
person may or may not know I was even there. And I was sort of like, well, how does that help? If they don't know me, I don't know them. I guess I'm a human. So to have
yeah.
another human in the room was helpful.
Absolutely. There's an incredible degree of comfort of having someone there if you can't be there, or maybe you need a break. It is a hard job being a caregiver and being the loved one that's caring for your person that's dying, and having a volunteer to come in and relieve you, or know they know your mom, they know your dad, and they're going to be there as a comfort. Maybe they might open their eyes for a moment and feel comforted knowing that you're there.
Yeah, yeah. A texter writes, how do you pay for hospice? Is it covered by insurance?
Oh, great question. Hospice is a Medicare benefit. So anyone over the age of 65, it's one of the only benefits that's actually covered 100% by Medicare. So everything we've talked about, including medications, wound care products, incontinent care products, the durable medical equipment, the services, everything is covered. The caveat is if you're under the age of 65, perhaps you're 45 going through cancer, you're releasing curative care, that would be dependent on your plan. So if you have Blue Cross Blue Shield, they might have certain hospices that cover that are associated with that that coverage plan.
Okay.
But if you're over the age of 65, 100% covered.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take our final break of the hour, 651-461-9226. We have more questions and more comments, and we want to tell folks about a special free webinar coming up as well to talk about death and dying. 651-461-9226. We're back right after this short break. And we are back for the final segment of our Health Hour. I'm Susie Jones, your host. Each and every Sunday morning, appreciate the calls and the texts this morning. Appreciate getting the Tabernacle Choir back on the air. A lot of folks happy about that. Our guest this half hour, Megan Thomas-Betts, LifeSpark Hospice Administrator. And we're talking about hospice. And we've got a number of texts coming in at 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Oh, this is a story here. This texter writes, my husband died 2 days ago. Oh, honey. Mm-hmm. And he'd been in hospice for a month. This was my second experience with hospice. My mom lived with us in hospice 25 years ago, both me and my husband. Any supplies, medicine, or equipment was a phone call away. Thank you. It seems too inadequate, but becoming a volunteer is a wonderful way to pay back. Thank you for that text. That's awesome. We really appreciate you sharing that. I think that is a lot of, isn't it, how volunteers become volunteers is because they've experienced it?
Yes, very much. And we often have just such good experiences in life and want to be able to see someone else have the same experience.
Yeah. You know, I just think that the volunteers, too, are there when someone doesn't have family, you know.
Yes.
And, or a family member has maybe been busy and put them into a facility, a care place, and not able to visit so much. So that's another way that you can step in. Let's talk a little bit, because we are kind of nearing the end, and I mentioned this free webinar coming up to talk about death and dying. And again, we could talk about this for hours. It's a difficult subject, and it aims to make it easier and make choices. It's called Death Over Donuts. My goodness, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So we have had two Death Over Donuts in-person conversations already, and they have been fantastic. This particular webinar, it's free. And it's an open conversation to talk about death and dying, something that so many families want to do but don't know how to start. So we talk about how to express your wishes, how to understand your options, how to bring these conversations into your everyday life, and really how planning ahead can give families peace and clarity. And our team that's leading it are fantastic, lovely clinicians, and they make it warm and approachable to have this difficult conversation. It's less intimidating than it sounds. And we have had the most beautiful conversations with people, and I would greatly encourage you to join us and just ask the questions that you need to ask.
It's interesting because a lot of people, I have my best friend and her mom, and some people don't want to talk about it. They shut down. Is it fear, or what stops people from wanting to get in there and say, okay, I'm 90 something years old. I'm awake and alive, and my brain is still working for the most part. So what a great time to talk about, do you want to be cremated? Do you want to have an open casket?
Yeah.
Do you want a closed casket? Where should we have it? Do you want it at the church? Blah, blah, blah. And yet it's hard to do that. It's hard to broach that.
It is. And really, I think that as a society and as a culture here, we are afraid to talk about death. And there are a lot of reasons why, but I think that if we bring it into everyday conversations at any age, that death is a part of life. And it doesn't mean the end. It's talking about your wishes and what you want for yourself, for your dignity, your comfort, your happiness. And that any age that we are is a wonderful age to really talk through these things. If you are a person who loves someone else or someone else loves you, this is a great webinar because it will open the door at any age to talk about death and dying.
And so you just sign up and register online? Is that what you do?
You do. You can go to lifespark.com, LifeSpark.com, and it will be on our events that you can sign up or scan the link. And if you have trouble, you can call us.
What number?
At 952-345-8770.
That is wonderful news. It's free and people can learn a lot and hopefully have a peaceful and beautiful passing. I mean, that's what we wish for everyone. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on, Megan. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, we're back after this.